This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Everybody looks so nice in here today. Sue's got a fancy coat on. Woo-hoo! Jane, you're looking quite, I guess dapper would not be the word. That's a men's
fetching.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Fetching.
That's right. You got the hair pulled back again today. This is a new habit you can watch on the YouTube or the X, formerly Twitter. How are you, Sue?
I'm fine. Fine. How are you?
Happy
good.
Friday. Did you watch that U.S. Open last night at all?
No, didn't have
Oh,
to.
Man. I was
Some
watching
I
football
did.
And
How
about the U.S. Open.
Dress?
Oh, Osaka?
We
She's been wearing
that
the whole time, though.
Yeah,
but, man, the women's tennis last night was really good, and the men's semifinals are today. I managed to juggle football and the U.S. Open at the same time, which was
it's a gift.
Pretty fun. It is a gift. Thank you for recognizing mm-hmm. that. Jane Duker is here for the roundtable this afternoon. Hi, Jane.
How you doing?
I'm good. Did you bring some Oreos with Reese's?
Oh, I have things. I'm not going to prep you. You're just going to have to go along.
We had a bit of a taste test last week in the 4 o'clock hour.
And it continues.
You know, this sort of discriminates against the other roundtable panelists, like Ed Rohde, who's here this afternoon, political consultant. Right, you don't get to stay in the 4 o'clock hour. So,
well, I could if you really want.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah, we could invite you, but we're not going to.
Oh,
no,
wow.
Sorry.
We're
gonna
yeah,
send
I got
you,
good food.
Send you packing after this hour. Sean Flowers here, the mayor of Eureka. How are you?
Doing wonderful.
Hey, let's point something out here. You probably know this, Sean. The Focus Marines Foundation hosts the Mark Cox Show once a year in Eureka. And next Thursday, on September 11th, at Chickenelli's, Mark's going to be there doing the morning show live.
Yes.
Aww.
That's not too far from where I live. I might have to zip
nice
down there.
That's a nice spot to drop in. Good breakfast down there. He gets a good crowd. So
All
Focus
right.
Marines,
let's,
good group.
We'll mention that a couple of times here this afternoon. Bunch of national topics that we will get to as the hour progresses here this afternoon. Let's start here, though, with just some local stuff and what's going on in Jeff City with the special session. And, Jane, what are you hearing at this point about what's going on? Are they making progress? They're back in, you know, the special session that Mike Kehoe calls to address a couple of different issues, initiative petition reform and, of course, redrawing the legislative lines.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to push it through. And, you know, and Congressman Cleaver's already said he's going to sue. And, you know, the state constitution isn't great for him. I mean, the best of both worlds would be is if they push this map through and then it's declared invalid because you can't do it, like, whenever. Because if you can do it now, you can do it every year. You can do it twice a year. I don't think that was ever supposed to be the case. And the Missouri Constitution says after the decennial census. So there I think there is legal issues there.
Well, there always are.
But there always are.
You lawyers will be fine. You'll survive,
yes,
right?
Yes, I love that. Keep the lawyers very busy. And so I think that's interesting. Initiative petition reform, I mean, they probably just need to get that done and get it off the table. I think having initiative petition reform along with the maps You know, a little log rolling never hurt anybody. I think that that helps things along. But it's, you know, in the past, it's been the Republicans who have stopped that, not the Democrats. So it'll be interesting to see. I think what they're...
And that one's a little bit more complicated because that's still, whatever they put together on initiative petition reform, whether they change the amount of votes that are required in a congressional district or, you know, change the threshold for how much you need to pass, you know, an initiative petition, whether it's 50% plus one or it's 60%. There's all kinds of things on the table. But that has to go to a vote of the people. So that makes it even more complicated. So whatever they might do has to eventually end up in a ballot for Missouri voters.
And I also think, be careful. I mean, I think that it should be harder to amend the Constitution. And I think you will get a lot of support from all sides on that, that we don't need 50-page amendments to the Constitution. That's not what it's meant for. But having this where you've got to get, you know, 70% of all the congressional districts, at some point, like, and I read, like, you know, 5% of the voters could stop an initiative. Well, that's not what it's supposed to be either. So, you know, they shouldn't overplay their hand. That doesn't mean they won't. But it would just be better if they just said, look, let's make it hard to amend the Constitution.
But well, voters, if this gets, you know, this ends up on the ballot, this is the one thing that's frustrating. I don't even know if people are going to know what the hell they're voting on, Ed.
I don't think they do either. Uh-uh. And I have to say, and this is kind of bad, but from like a consultant perspective, this is great because both sides are going to load up spending money to try to pass this or defeat it. And I have to say, like my personal opinion, I do think we need some sort of IP reform because you shouldn't be able to change the Constitution with 50%.
I agree.
And I mean, you know, maybe 54% or maybe 50
or maybe 60.
Yeah. 60 or whatever. I mean, doing it.
Well, they've used different threshold numbers have been thrown out there. So I've said this before. I've been talking about, you know, this process for four decades because I remember being pissed off about it in the 1980s, honestly. So it's definitely needed. I just think it's one of those things, Sean, that people don't really understand. And the issue from a Republican standpoint is, look, you have all these big money groups that can come out. And if the legislature with a supermajority of Republicans doesn't want to do something, but the out-of-state big money group wants to change the Constitution, it's way too easy for them to do it. And I think that's a legitimate issue for sure. Look, I'm more in favor of the initiative petition reform, even though it makes my eyes gloss over, than I am the district redistricting.
I agree.
I feel I'm just being honest, because if I try to apply the same principle, if the Democrats were in control and they were doing this,
I'd
be flipping out and I wouldn't be very happy about it. So I do understand.
But the argument there is they would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, okay. And I get that.
Well, then why didn't we?
Well, whoever wins this is the one that's able to dumb it down in a way that like regular voters can understand. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but that's the...
You mean on IP reform?
Yes.
But I mean, I'm the districts. You're fine with it because, and this is where I land, but you look at Illinois, you look at what they're doing in California. So when people do have the power, when the Democrats have had the power, they've, you know, they've carved these maps out to their likability. The Republicans tried to do that a couple of years ago. There was a dispute about how the districts would be cut. And you get two districts in Missouri that go to Democrats, Emanuel Cleaver on the other side of the state. They want to take that district and carve it out differently so it goes across a big swath of the state, even
into
Boone County.
Which may not give them what they want. They may have three watered-down districts that, you know, they may not increase their fortunes if they split up Cleaver's district into with three Republicans. It'll weaken all of their districts.
But are you fine with doing it? Because the Democrats have done it,
and they use their
power. I think
as a general principle, just watching the argument, and again, you almost take it out of Missouri because it's really a nationwide issue. I think it's more the nationwide Republican Party is saying get every Republican congressional seat you can, and you know it starts Texas, California,
everywhere. You're not allowed to change the map. I mean, Trump has told the Republicans, you vote yes or no on this map. They aren't allowed to change it. I mean, he's not accepting that. So I do think it puts him in a corner.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make a decision, but I think it's just an interesting issue because it is. It's the one policy you look at. I mean, what you really get down to is like those gerrymandered maps in Illinois. You stare at them, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, you look at people getting a political. It's amazing. It's even legally possible.
I described the Illinois, that one district in the middle. It looks like if you're looking at a storm coming across the Midwest, and the line of the storm goes, you know, from southern Oklahoma all the way up to the tip of Iowa. That's what that district kind of looks like in Illinois.
But I think it's interesting. It's again, everybody's if they're honest, they go, I'd make the opposite argument if I get on the other side. And generally, you're trying to reinforce your strength on it. And then they could be unpredictable. You could have weaker seats long term. You could do, there could be a thousand things. But do I have a problem with them outside of this every 10 years? No.
Here's another thing about it.
I mean, then everybody's just going to do it every year. Well,
it's
stupid.
A dangerous precedent, really, because
it is.
You had said earlier, I mean, what happens when the Democrats are in charge?
Well, that won't happen in Missouri.
But we're going to be doing this in other states.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue, though.
You're seeing it, though, right away with California. I mean, it's effectively happening one way or the other.
There's going to be a reaction.
I think that's what the Republicans nationally are saying is if you look at state after state, they're saying it's already happened. So the dangerous precedent has already happened. It's just there's only one team playing the game.
Well, what do you mean there's going to be a reaction? Because I think this
because
is another one of those things
you guys can't hardly get anymore.
And they're going to eradicate Republicans.
But you've already done it.
Well, they've done that, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You got states that have 40% for Trump and zero representation. Well, they say like Massachusetts, like 40%, they have zero
Connecticut. Apparently Maine's still a state. I wasn't aware, but Maine has the same deal going on.
But they're only doing this every 10 years, so they're kind of doing it by the rules, right? I mean, they're gerrymandering every 10
years. This is,
but that's the backup argument, though. You go, oh, it's a threat to democracy. Everything's going to come to an end if they do it. But then it's like, well, it's really just a process issue because as long as you only threaten democracy every 10 years, we're good with it. I mean, it's like,
it is what it is. I've never said it's a threat to democracy.
But I'm just saying, but that's kind of the nationwide term.
Are going to start doing it every year, and then we'll end up talking about redistricting, and then education, jobs, everything else will go to the bottom again because everybody wants to talk about process.
Well, that's disappointing.
We're doing this instead of doing the important issue. Why is nobody talking about education? We've got, another generation of kids that don't know how to read. But we're talking about gerrymandering. I mean, I got to agree with you on that.
But if you don't have control of the House and you don't have political control, then you don't get to talk about the other stuff anyway. It's a very important issue.
Well, the times we've gotten the most done, like, for example, the last time we had actually a surplus instead of all deficits, with Bill Clinton, you had a Republican Congress and you had a Democratic president. And that generally seems to like be when the most stuff gets done because both parties have to jump off to actually get something done. And so, he has full control now and he's not getting it done. Why does he,
I don't know what
this is about him.
What do you mean he's not getting things done? He's getting all
on,
every day. He's getting
nothing through Congress. All kinds of fiat.
All he needs
stuff.
Is a pen. Right, a phone, and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I remember when
stuff the courts are turning over.
He's winning a court over and over by the time it gets up top.
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to sit there and say this is an uneventful,
I think he's scoring victory. A lot of the things that he said he was going to do, he's definitely doing.
But
and
he's not getting it through Congress. The big beautiful bill. Yeah.
Well, but he does nothing.
That was a key piece of legislation. By the way, they're rebranding that now because they don't think it addresses the tax cuts as much as it should, which I agree with. But what hasn't he done that he said he was going to do? Now, granted, he did say he was going to solve the Ukraine war in one day. That seems to be dragging on a little bit. I mean,
we're
a couple of weeks away from the meeting with Putin. That was 3 weeks ago, I think, wasn't it? And that's a pretty quiet situation. But, when you look at some of the things that are happening nationally for the Democrats, you got J.B. Pritzker out there and some of these folks. Axelrod was even lecturing them. These are people, Jane, and you know this, and Ed, you know this too. They're completely out of touch on this crime issue. They think that fighting the notion that people want to be safer is going to be a political victory for them and help them in the midterms or 2028. That's insanity.
It is, and they just don't get the memo. And I think this idea that, we're not going to deport criminals, I mean, it's just a terrible, it's a 90-10 issue. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get why we still have to like stay in this rut where we say, these urban centers should just be free to just like allow havoc and allow crime and allow. I mean, it's just
every
not
time
okay.
We keep talking about these cases that go national. These are people who have been arrested like 10 times, 13 times, 17 times. Right. And any cop here will tell you the same thing.
I don't want to pay to incarcerate these people.
Well, the one that's amazing is that one that the truck accident down in Florida with the guy's a driver's license and had been, had deportation issues all over the place and gets a job with a trucking company and comes from California to Florida and kills a family doing a U-turn there. I mean, you just started by going, how do we not agree on these type
on
of
that.
Cases? But you'd have somebody stand up for that even as a
we had Democrats going down to where'd they go, Mexico or wherever, to try to go,
get the Maryland father back.
But like a Brandon Johnson, I do not understand the politics of it. And I don't know, maybe they don't have a price to pay, but that is one where it just seems like if you had, I don't understand turning down help in those situations.
Well, I think there are Democrats in Chicago that don't understand that either. They don't get it because they want help in their communities.
Yeah, my Democratic friends are complaining about Trump, and I'll ask them, okay, what's the alternative? What Democrat or what Democratic policy is the alternative when they can't even even acknowledge that crime is a problem, that's a problem that you can't even acknowledge.
Yeah, the only thing you guys have is anti-Trump. You know, Trump is bad. Right. There's not anything that really, to Jane's point, and I'm going to revisit this in a couple of minutes, the lack of attention to some of the things that really do matter in this country is stunning. And I'll kind of bring that point home here as we get into the next segment. It's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
The Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon with Jane Duker on the panel, Ed Rohde, a political consultant for the Democrats, Sean Flower, a mayor who is a Republican, a mayor of Eureka. And Jane, you said before we get into some of these other issues that there's a little breaking news on Senator Hawley.
Yes, he's supporting the Boeing strikers, the workers, and he's got some pretty harsh things to say. He's like, you know, you got CEO and executives making lots of money while their planes fall out of the sky and they don't want to pay the workers. I mean, he's teeing off. So, I mean, he's done this before. He did this with the auto workers, and he takes a kind of a populist left, and, you know, and he was the one who got RECA, which is the relief for the North County people that are have been hurt by the radioactive waste.
Look at you indulging in endorsing Josh Hawley. How about that,
Not
Jane?
Endorsing him, but okay. There are a few things that he's done that I've been really happy with. And RECA, you know what? That the fact that that got across the finish line is nothing short of extraordinary, yeah. And it's huge.
Props to him.
We didn't have anybody locally doing it, so there you go.
All right, crazy hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday with RFK Jr.
Scientists who said they wanted to brief you on the science, scientists who wanted to understand why the FDA, why you unilaterally changed the parameters for giving vaccines.
This is crazy talk. You're just making stuff up.
What you should be doing is honoring your promise that you made when you were looking to get confirmed in this job.
I never promised that I was going to recommend products with which there is no indication. I don't even know what you're talking about. You're talking gibberish.
Mr. Secretary, let me speak slowly and clearly so that you can understand me through my New Mexico accent.
And then give me a chance to
answer.
Does
this help? Can you understand me?
So it got a little crazy and out of hand, and there was a lot of shouting over one another. J.D. Vance, our vice president, tweeted, "When I see all these senators trying to lecture and, quote, gotcha Bobby Kennedy today, all I can think of is you all support off-label, untested, and irreversible hormonal therapies for children, mutilating our kids and enriching Big Pharma. You're full of blank, and everyone knows it." I did like that response, Sean Flower. Now, everything that RFK Jr. is about, I'm not a real supporter of. So I think there are, you know, lanes where we can criticize him. But, you know, the issue that I have goes back to the trust that we've lost in our, you know, entities like the CDC. These are the people that wanted us wearing masks, you know, when we were outdoors. And they made up the 6 feet thing from 1918 and everything that came along with COVID, including the vaccine, the, you know, efficacy of the vaccine. They were lies. So it's hard, even if you have, I said this yesterday, even if you have someone with controversial views, I don't agree with everything he says on vaccines. I heard some stuff yesterday that was a little troubling as well. But how do you not judge that with the comparison and the juxtaposition of what's happened with public health in the last 5 years alone?
Yeah, that hearing was the revenge of everybody that's ticked off, cleaning it up a little bit about COVID. It's just, we're going to vote and we're going to clean every one of you lying sacks out of that agency. And I mean that, every one of them. I mean, and I love how their best response from the CDC has been, what is that, Dr. Descalis, who's got some perverse thing where he's got more, he was a high up doctor at CDC, and then you have all of his photos leaked of him in like bondage wear, doing all sorts of weird.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's the guy that got fired. That used the, he was the guy bananas. That used the pregnant people. Right,
I mean, you've talked about a group of people that literally completely eviscerated the credibility of the Health and Human Services Department. They all got to go. Period. And even Mandy, the gal they're bringing back in, is the one that was talking like a high school kid about how she's calling her friend, and that's how we decided we're not going to let them have football games. We're not going to let them do this.
Right.
You guys ruined, literally ruined kids' lives. And maybe you give them 6 months. It was 2 years. You had the teachers' unions rewrite all of the rules and
Absolutely.
Shut down schools for another year.
Right.
Everybody gets what they get, and this is, some of it is just a rage, but I actually find it, I mean, it's fun. And I'm absolutely amazed at the ignorance of many of the senators and the questions they ask, like, you know, when they say, well, how many people died of COVID? And he says, well, I don't know. And they'll act like there's some exact number. And he goes through, he goes, I don't know, because you categorized everything so crazy. You have people dying in motorcycle accidents that died of COVID.
By the way, that's
and he's 100% right.
That's
and
so
those
documented.
Senators don't
he is
know.
Right. He
it's
is
just,
right.
It's stunning to watch the stupidity. And they still think they're playing. I'm amazed at how far behind they are, because they are still playing a game. They think they're winning. And especially the youth vote and people around, everybody's like, no, you guys are, I mean, you have no idea what you're talking. I can't. And if you don't understand it now, it really makes me have a hard time trusting you, because you're twisting facts. There's never been a reckoning on COVID. And that's what this is.
Yeah. So that's an interesting point.
There actually is a reckoning coming, because if you talk to kids, like I talk to my kids, and they were the ones, like my daughter lost her last 2 years of high school. My son lost his last year of college. And there is a reckoning, and you are finding the younger generation being far more conservative because they feel like that they were completely powerless as to what was going to happen. That lack of control leads to anxiety and mental health issues, because, you know, they were whipped around.
The kids are resilient. That was
kids
line
are resilient.
From these, but that was the line from these same chuckleheads that were justifying why right. they could do anything to kids, because kids
right.
can get over it. What's childhood?
Can.
It's
Adults
it's a replaceable.
Can't.
You know, I mean, all of it's bad. And I agree with you. This is the start of the reckoning.
Yeah.
But they've sowed something, and just the lack of connect with those senators.
By the
I
way,
was stunned.
Just as a side note here, and I've been tracking this a little bit. I've mentioned it a few times in the last week. I read a lot of different newspapers, and this was, I think, the 6th out of 7 days that I went to the LA Times, and on the front page of the LATimes.com, there's something related to COVID and a COVID spike. And 2 days ago, they were encouraging people to mask up. In September of 2025, these idiots, these are the people out in California, they didn't want you on the beach during COVID. So to your point, people have had enough with this stuff, and the media in, you know, California, they did this last year, and this is the best thing about it is, if you read about 7 or 8 paragraphs down in the LA Times story, they have to admit that the number of hospitalizations and deaths is even though there's this spike going on and they're, you know, they're detecting COVID in the wastewater, the numbers are lower than they were last summer.
Right.
So they're scaring the crap out of people on COVID again for no reason whatsoever.
And I think people have tuned out, and I think that this was what happens when any party overplays their hand. And this is where I think the Republicans, you know, they won't learn because neither party does. But, I mean, when you overplay your hand, eventually, I mean, when the whipsaw comes back, it's ugly. Mm-hmm. And so when you have one party who is trying to smash, and I will tell you, during COVID, I mean, there was one party in charge and they were in charge everywhere. And it was, and I think people are not forgetting that. And I think that it's all okay until it's not. And mm-hmm. You know?
Trump has culpability with a part of MAGA, that, you know, yes, certainly that sides with RFK Jr. on the vaccine issue in particular. And that was addressed a little bit yesterday. Look, Operation Warp Speed, I do happen to believe that the vaccine saved
helped
a
I
lot
agree
of lives, right? But I think that the advocacy for it was way off. The messaging, younger people didn't
silencing
need it, toddlers didn't need it, people under, you know, now we're to the point where we actually have some messaging on who should get the shot in the fall of 2025 that we should have had 5 years ago.
I mean, yeah, that, to me, the most horrible thing about the COVID thing, and you know, because I was at all these meetings in St. Louis County when you had Scam Page denouncing the council because they actually listened to people who said, you know what, I've seen a study, you know, maybe what you're saying isn't exactly accurate, and they were banished for being like heretics.
Yeah, by the way, it's grandma also the mandates.
Yeah.
It's the way
you're
that
killing
this,
grandma. Yeah.
That's the other thing that's important to
realize. They actually
realize
did kill grandma. They didn't kill the kids. They killed grandma because they didn't send any assets to the nursing homes and the old people. Oh. Those are the people who all died and they ignored them.
That's actually true. Yeah, in New York City in particular, and one of those guys that was
in
responsible for that wants to be the mayor of New York right now, and he's probably not going to win with Andrew Cuomo. But the other issue, and this is what came up yesterday, is, and I think a lot of us remember this, it's not just the way that the vaccine was sold or that it was rolled out or anything like that. It was that it was forced on people. There were mandates, employer mandates. You couldn't go to concerts unless you showed your stupid vaccine card. I mean, thinking about that, and it was just a few years ago, is just mind-numbing.
Or that the Department of Health workers at St. Louis County got the vaccine before anybody else. You know, it just showed that this was just, I mean, that really chapped people. It's like, you know, not the cops or the firefighters who were on the front line the whole time. They weren't first in line. They had to get behind, you know, bureaucrats. I mean, there were a lot of things that people got really mad. And that is, there is an undercurrent of that. And I don't think that my party has gotten that memo.
But yesterday, you know, Sean, you know this, there were a lot of Republicans who mm-hmm. who kind of ganged up a little bit on RFK Jr. I've seen some pundits, even some guests on my show on a regular basis, Batyang or Sargon, who ripped into RFK Jr. So there are people out there on the other side or maybe who are, you know, leaning more Republican or pro-Trump than they ever did before that still have an issue with his role in HHS.
I think that's actually strangely a good sign of somebody in a department. I mean, it's kind of interesting to watch bipartisan
opposition
come up, and
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
maybe that means he's, you know, because I find him to do a lot of questioning and say things, you know, I want to test this or I want to do that. People just go nuts and you're like, well, I mean, you know, and then he does say things like chronic illness or vaccine, you know, there's all sorts of stats and health things. He says, we're not healthy, we're not better, and you guys keep clinging to the same system, and anytime I try and change anything, you act like it's the end of the world. And I really like some.
I
there's
do too.
Good response yeah. to
the
all
discussion
of his,
is
get healthy.
Helpful.
It
yes.
is. You don't have to be threatened every
but
that's
but here's the thing.
You
know what?
Wrong,
you know? Yesterday could have been a discussion, and it was not. Now, and
weird.
I always have to admit that when, you know, when Democrats chair these hearings, the Republicans do a lot of the blah, 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 too. But there really was, given the nature of the mm-hmm. dynamics, to your point, Sean, with Republicans having issues, and there were some that really did want to mm-hmm. get answers, but a lot of it just became, you know, a shouting match yesterday. And that's disappointing because there are questions that should be addressed and perspectives
and
that
be.
Should be addressed. And they could be, but
and
not in the form
it
like
cuts
that.
Through, though, too, because when you look at him, he's a wealthy guy who could be doing anything else with his life, lost a lot to get there, and I mean, I think he's doing it because he thinks he's doing something important.
Yep. No, I believe that he believes the crud he's peddling. I just hope that he is willing to say, you know what, I'm going to question things, but I'm also not going to tune out every other opinion that's contrary to mine. I don't understand why people are so afraid of opinions that they don't agree with. Like, I don't understand.
Well, that was part of the whole issue with COVID the first summer, because you
right.
only had one line of thought, and there were different viewpoints,
and you were
but
evil.
they were shut down.
Right.
They were shut down. Hang on, it's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. We are back with more in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Well, it is a Friday afternoon. That means a Friday Reardon Roundtable. Jane is here with us. Jane Duker will stay in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll have a little fun with some entertainment stuff. Paul Hall will join us with movies and television recommendations. Also, Frank Cusimano on sports. We'll get a preview of the big Mizzou KU game tomorrow. Big NFL game tonight with the Chiefs as well. What was that, Jane?
M-I-Z-Z-O-U.
I cannot wait. I have my Mizzou shirt on today. So I just finished watching, and we're going to talk about this a little bit with Paul. And Jane, I know that you're the queen of streaming television, but this morning I wrapped up the Spike Lee documentary on Netflix, which is called Katrina, Come Hell and High Water. And this was right now where we are sitting is the 20-year anniversary. And, you know, when I say now this week, because Katrina, when it hit, it's funny because it's not funny, but when the initial media reports came out, they go to the French Quarter and everything seemed like it was okay, because it was okay until the levees broke. And when the levees broke, that changed everything. But I couldn't help but thinking of, because what they do in this documentary, and, you know, it focuses almost exclusively on poor African Americans, because those were the people that were affected most. They had to go to the Superdome and the convention center, and they didn't get any food. There were bodies that were hanging out, all this stuff. But they also talk about the lasting impact of Katrina from not only socioeconomic perspectives, psychological perspectives, mental health, and resources and education. And this is where I want to make a comparison to St. Louis, because watching this, and I highly recommend it, even though there's some politics in there and there's some stuff that I rolled my eyes at with Spike Lee, there's enough good stuff that people should be reminded about that time and what happened in New Orleans. But I can't help thinking about St. Louis and how many kids that ordinarily would be at school right now, but they're not, because of the tornadoes or because of other things related to the mess that St. Louis public schools are. And we sit here, we've already talked about this DC crime issue in Chicago just a little bit, right? Jane, the amount of times we talk about crime in the city on this show, it's mm-hmm. nearly everyone, right? You go, if you track the roundtable and you did that. But there is no way to get out of this vicious cycle unless we make sure that education is stronger and we have more mentorship and leaders and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm fearful that on a much smaller scale, I mean, Katrina was, you know, Hall of Fame level disaster.
1,200 people died, yeah.
But in our situation, and I have a friend that reached out to me a week ago who is just beyond apoplectic about the lack of response in some parts of North St. Louis, you know, when it comes to the cleanup and the debris removal. And he wants to do something. I'm going to take a ride with him next Friday, so I'll report back on this on the roundtable, because
people
I'll get some video of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if you have an opinion of how, or do even have a perspective of how, you know, the resources are working. I know that there was more money from the Rams settlement that apparently was moved over to help. I mean, I still think we're at a small level of money. How about a real investment into fixing things here?
Well, that's the thing is debris removal is number one. And but these people need to live somewhere. We're either going to chase them out of the city, which is going to, you know, continue the drain, especially of minority populations.
What happened in New Orleans.
Exactly. And
they moved to other cities.
They did.
They just moved out.
They had
out.
To. They got moved to Atlanta,
right.
And they stayed. They went to Dallas. They went to, you
Houston,
know.
Yep.
Houston. And so we could be below 300,000 in population. I mean, we could be next to, like, the city could be Florissant really soon if we don't get a handle on this. What they're not talking about is, yes, you have to clean the debris. Most of these homes are not going to get refurbished because you can't. It's too expensive. But there is no plan to build homes. So we have, like, the best home builders, like, here. I mean, and why?
You happen to have a brother who's
exactly.
one of those, I believe.
But, I mean, you know, they're building
There's
five...
a panelist here today who might be one of those, Sean Flower, right?
Yeah, Sean's one of them, too.
No, you're there.
Know,
I should have
building...
cited you first, Flower.
Yeah,
sorry
you.
About
That's
that.
That's all I ask.
Yeah, you're here. But, I mean, they're building 500 homes in Cuba, Missouri. I mean... Like, we need to build 100 or 200 homes now. I'm not talking about Section 8. I'm talking about homes, you know, that like young families, you know, can live in.
And can afford.
Yes, and afford. And, I mean, the city acts like new construction is Satan's spawn.
But here, to me, what's interesting is you have trouble, too, with, you know, they can't manage. They really struggle with just managing when you don't have a disaster. So when you put a disaster on top of it, you don't really have the tools there. Right. And
correct.
The one that always hits my mind is, like, so you have Katrina. But the one in my mind it's been recently is when they had the disaster, that terrible one in Florida, and they had the Sanibel Bridge rebuilt. So they've got how fast you can
right.
tell the answer is leadership.
Santa's got that
and it's
got
to be the people there, but he pulled heaven and earth, went over there and put it in. But you've got to the one party that can cut the red tape is the party that creates the red tape. And that seems to be the issue with a lot of these cities and states.
We have money sitting in accounts for housing.
But you should go. You got to have somebody there and go. It's possible to do. And, I mean, we've dealt with flooding and issues on a smaller scale in Eureka that have been very damaging. But you go. And a lot of that is, you know, I got all sorts of calls like, you know, can we do this or not? Or what are we doing? I mean, I'll hate to say it sometimes. You do things you wouldn't do in a normal situation. Things go faster. I mean,
you have
can cut
to.
Rules.
I mean, people lose. I think people lose, you know, they lose faith.
But there's an answer, and they got to go. I mean, if the people in charge can't figure out how to move something, then why are you there?
But
well,
you know,
because they
all,
have to ask everybody, right. And they have to have a commission
for
everything.
To study it and
blue ribbon panel,
plan.
Right?
Yeah. And we've got money sitting in a bank account for housing. I mean, money sitting in a bank. Build homes for these people.
But the city makes it too hard with the regulations that they put in place. They want to rehab everything. They don't want to build new homes.
There
is
a complete bias against new construction, which I think is dumb. I really do. I mean, we have a ton of new construction on the Hill.
Right.
And the Hill is thriving because new people have come because you have housing that, you know, people want to live in. And, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, we can save the bricks, and the bricks are wonderful. But these people don't have insurance, and they don't have a home.
Yeah. You know what's sad
they're
about
way beyond
one of the things in the documentary is, and this was in the part that I watched this morning, and I didn't remember this aspect of it, and I don't think they really put a bunch of blame on him, but Brad Pitt goes in and helps raise, I think, like $100 million or something. They start a foundation to build homes, and they build these homes for people, and it looks like the greatest thing ever, except that they built the homes so environmentally friendly that they did not really deflect water, and they started literally falling apart within weeks, and all these people that thought they had these great new homes to live in, they couldn't even live with them, and then they're torn down, and some of them have never been rebuilt to this day.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I just, you know, you can't
it's
go
a tough
to
situation,
experts.
But do we have an Ed, let me ask you this, because it's hard, and I don't watch a lot of local TV news, but it is hard to get a perspective on how much the city is doing and whether Kara continues to do a good job. She's not someone who is seeking, you know, the spotlight or the limelight. I do think that she has the best interests of the city, you know, in her heart and at the top. But it's hard to gauge how much is actually getting done because there's not a ton of media coverage on that.
That is a good question, and I think her heart is in the right place, and I think she is doing a good job, and I think she's trying. But, again, I mean, things are just so slow to move in St. Louis. I mean, even when they're moving fast, they're moving slow. I mean, to Jane's point, if you were to build new homes, I mean, this is, you know, a 2, 3, 4, 5-year project.
If not longer than that. You know,
it shouldn't have to be, though.
Going back to Katrina, there was a group that came in separate from the Brad Pitt group, and they're like, look, we're going to, our goal is to do this by, you know, this particular time. And they only are 55% on that goal from 20 years ago in 2025. So the goal, and I can't remember exact number that they set, but the goal that they set and said, we're going to do this 2 decades later, they're still not there.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, we have money sitting in the bank. That's what irks me is, has anybody gone to the experts and said, hey, what would it take to build homes for this many people impacted? Mm-hmm. Just ask. And here's another problem I think Kara has, and it's not her fault. This government is organized to fail. I mean, it genuinely is. I mean,
you mean St. Louis City government?
Yes. Trying to get a permit through, I can't even imagine.
But that's why I say it's interesting. They can't function anyway.
Right.
So with the way their structure is, so you add it, and then what's really amazing is that it functions so bad that even the people that are in charge can't operate in their own system. I've seen that in cities before, and you know, maybe they'll start learning, but I don't know what gets the pressure up. But and what's also crazy is that when they kept showing the FEMA deadline had passed and they didn't have applications. So it's just you know, there is an element of people got to help themselves too. And
I agree.
Get the feeling they're so despondent that nobody, you know, it's almost like the voting issue. But I mean, when you're not even going in to fill out a FEMA application for help,
you know what? Because they're probably leaving.
Well, which begs the question. I mean, is housing in North City really the right purpose for that land? Shouldn't we be looking at maybe light industrial or other uses for that land there? Right.
And build houses somewhere
else.
You'd
have to tell people and level them, because you do see on the news. Yes. It seems like when you go through, there's a lot of this hope that people are, hey, maybe somebody will come in and rebuild this house. And I mean, just structurally, I look at stuff and go, somebody needs to go tell the person, I know your family's been here. I know this is tough.
It's not gonna happen.
You got to get out of here.
Yeah,
you got to get out.
Hang tight. We have one more segment of the Reardon Roundtable to go here on a Friday afternoon. I believe we have another taste test just around the corner right before Sue's news after Fox News at the top of the hour. Jane has brought some more treats in for us this afternoon. It seems very unfair to the audience since they can't enjoy this, but they can watch on the YouTube or the X, formerly Twitter, feed. Paul Hall's going to join us with some entertainment recommendations. We got Cusimano in the next hour as well. Who watched? Did you guys watch it all in the NFL game last night?
Oh, yeah.
Or not?
Yes.
Sean Flower says yes. Ed Rohde, did you watch?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Jane, did you watch it all?
I didn't watch it all, but I watched
some. Okay, so from the very beginning, did you see the incident with
the spitting?
I don't think there was a second spitter like in the Seinfeld episode, but
yeah.
Jalen Carter, who is one of the top, if not the top, defensive ends in the entire league, before the game really even started, he gets into it with the quarterback of the Cowboys, Dak Prescott, and you don't notice what happens at first. You see them kind of facing off over one another, and then you see the referee, and they announce that he's not only been hit with you know, a penalty, but kicked out of the game. And then the announcers kind of go back, and Tirico and Collinsworth are like, did he spit on him? And sure enough, you can slow that down. I don't know what this is. I do think this is going to get me in trouble. There's a little bit of a cultural angle on this that, you know, I think certainly is at play. Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the Eagles, says that he had a discussion with Jalen after the ejection and that the two are on the same page, that the incident is something everyone can learn from. Look, this guy, even though he's really, really good, he gets into trouble every once in a while, and most of the penalties are because of his behavior. So I don't know what the league is going to do here. Probably a suspension and a fine. But that was just unbelievable that could happen on national TV.
There was a lot of ticky-tacky fighting. I'm like, okay, we got a bench clearer. I mean, those are fun to watch, but I'm sure it doesn't really advance the game much. It's fun to watch. I mean, Jalen Hurts, though, I mean, that guy is a class act. And so, you know, you just got to try to.
I hate the Cowboys so much. And I have Jalen and
too.
Saquon on fantasy teams, so I was pretty happy. Although, you know, you guys would probably admit that the second half was not nearly as entertaining as the first half. The first half was really good.
Yeah.
And then there was a weather delay, which kind of, you know, kicked things a little later than expected. So the Chiefs play the Chargers tonight. They are slight favorites in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It should be a very interesting game. You got Mizzou in action against KU tomorrow.
Go Mizzou!
That one's going to be a huge game.
That is a huge, because you can't
lose
that
one. It's going to be fun.
God,
right?
Well, there's just so much interest. I mean, we're going down, and then they've got ticket prices are through the roof. There's a million
people. Are you going?
It's a pre-homecoming.
You go tomorrow?
Yeah.
I haven't decided. Sometimes
I don't even
want to
hear rock
in.
Talk. I mean, that's just crazy talk.
I don't think you'll hear it.
So you guys know, have you been to a game here in the last few years where they do the Mr. Brightside thing?
I have
yes.
not.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you are aware of it, Jane. So what yes. they do is they play, and this is not unique to Mizzou. The one part is not unique, where they play the Killers, Mr. Brightside, which has kind of taken on a new life of its own with a younger generation. It's a great song.
Seriously.
It's become an anthem at a lot of these games. But what happens
and
is
weddings.
They all, and I'm not a fan of this, mainly because
I hate it too.
All right.
I
so
can't
the whole student section at one point says FKU. Right now, Sean, it's just ridiculous because we don't even really have the rivalry anymore.
We do.
Now, having said
we need to keep it going.
Away,
having said that,
I still hate KU.
No,
right.
I don't even like people that go to KU. I still, I'm like, that's my response when they tell me they go to KU. I go, I'm sorry.
Somebody
exactly.
at one point, asked me on Facebook years ago, Mark, what would you say if one of your kids decided they wanted to go to KU? I'm like, well, they wouldn't be part of my family anymore. I mean, that's
right.
basically what it is. I'm not, you know,
they're on their
but
own.
I will say that I have a lot of curiosity about tomorrow because I'd almost like to be in the building when they do the FKU part tomorrow because it will finally
no,
fit.
No, it's going
to
be so
it hasn't
fun.
Made any sense whatsoever, but
I
tomorrow.
I support it, by the way.
Well, we've had basketball. We've had it going, but I love it because it's so disorienting to the other the teams that are, you know, you have Texas there and they go do it and it'll be the
FKU.
Deal.
I mean, right.
Those
I
guys in the SEC
well,
are confused. They don't know what's going on. And that's what makes it wonderful. I just think it's hilarious.
No,
it's like, we remember you.
Let the kids be kids. And yeah, I'm glad that my generation has not forgotten the
but
KU.
I'm not endorsing that kind of behavior at games. I don't
well,
think that's
I
kind of
do.
So.
I mean,
I'm excited to get just football that is back. And unfortunately, you know, the flip side of this, and I was talking about this week, is I've kind of backed off baseball almost altogether. It's just, you know, been so disappointing.
You've been
and
forced.
I don't really have an interest in other teams. Yeah, and that stadium is going to be pretty empty here over the course of the next few weeks. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Jane, you're going to hang out a little bit, right?
I am.
Mr. Ed Rohde, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks
great
for having
to have
me
you in here. And Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka. I might even see you that morning. Mark Cox is going down on Thursday, September 11th for the Focus Marines Foundation. He's live doing his show out there at Chicken Ellie's. I know that you're probably going to stop by
yeah,
and be
up.
A guest, so we might see you next Thursday. Thank you, Sean Flower.
Hey.
We'll have Paul Hall with entertainment, Cusimano, Brian Kilmeade after 5 o'clock tonight. It's all still to come, plus an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.